I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
Leinster could offer me £5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Johnny Moe!
Rugby weekly.
Little reverse pass.
Hello, and welcome to your Friday episode of the 42 Rugby Weekly. We're on the eve of Leinster's Champions Cup quarter-final, an apocalypse game with their arch-nemesis, La Rochelle, and I'm joined to chat about it one last time, if you've been tuning into us as a subscriber this week, by Kieran Kennedy of the 42, who has been over with Leinster after captain's run. He's in the bowels of the Aviva Stadium in a room that he may not have permission to be in, but he's joining us nonetheless. Kieran, how are you getting on?
Yeah, I'm good, Gav. I'm flying it. I can't wait for tomorrow. I am here at the back of the Aviva. I'm in an interpreter's room, I think, actually, full of flashing lights and buttons that I'm trying not to press, but it's kind of difficult to find a space to record on a busy day like today. What a game you have to look forward to. Leo Cullen has just been up doing press. A few kind of little interesting tidbits to say. Obviously an interesting team selection that we're going to dig into. But yeah, even though this is only a quarter final, I've almost had to keep reminding myself across the week that it is only a quarter final because it feels bigger, doesn't it? These have been such just epic contests over the last few years. And I remember being in Marseille after the 2022 final and we were all talking about how much we wanted to see Leinster and La Rochelle come across each other again the following season. It was the exact same conversation after last year's final, and then again after the pool game in December. I think we were all hoping that we'd see them further down the line again when everything's all on the line. And now here we are, and I was just thinking on the way in as well, like over a couple of seasons where the Champions Cup has had some problems and has lost maybe some of the shine of old, this rivalry has been genuinely captivating and papered over the cracks maybe to a degree, and it's defined the competition in the way that like United Arsenal did back in the Ferguson and Wenger days. Although Arsenal won a couple of titles there, so maybe it's more like a Dublin Mayo thing where one keeps breaking the other's hearts. But yeah, these have been the two best teams in the competition over the last few years. There's been very little to pick between them, but ultimately it's all gone one way when it's mattered most. It's all on the line again tomorrow. But I think the pressure's all on Leinster. La Rochelle have those two titles. They're chasing three in a row. It's almost 6 years since Leinster last won it, and they're facing into the prospect of having their season ended by La Rochelle for the fourth year running. That has to be like utterly unthinkable for them, but it's a very live possibility, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they go about things tomorrow. And just even being here this morning, you sense there is a real edge to this rivalry now. So it's just such a mouthwatering game to look forward to, really.
As you say, the competition has a lot of issues right now. You see the Bulls sending a second team to Franklin's Gardens, and I would say logistically, in terms of the format, it still doesn't feel exactly right. And in terms of the buy-in across the board, across the continent, it's probably a shadow of what it used to be in the 2000s, the era in which we were growing up watching it on terrestrial television, and Munster felt like a cultural movement, and the Heineken Cup felt like a genuinely colossal event. This does paper over the cracks because it feels like one of the marquee fixtures in rugby now, be it Test rugby, club rugby, north, south, whatever. This is a game that the eyes of the entire rugby world will be glued to, Kieran. And I guess the fact that it's tracking towards a sellout, it may have sold out by now, to be honest. They were saying this morning that there were only a handful of tickets left to be snapped up. Kind of is indicative of, I guess, the footing that the rivalry has in Ireland now in terms of how it's perceived. And I would say maybe the idea of Rog bringing La Rochelle to Cork has been inflated by some people as some kind of like psyop, like or some kind of psychological masterstroke. Like, it couldn't be that yet when the ball hasn't even been kicked. But what it has done is it has ramped up the media coverage to a significant degree, I would say. Like, it's just added to the interest levels and probably put an extra 5,000 bums in seats. It does feel like an era-defining game for the reasons you outlined there. Because if Leinster were to be knocked out by La Rochelle for the fourth year running, that is very much then a Dublin Mayo thing. And you can almost question the degree to which you could consider it a rivalry, actually, if it's that one-sided. Maybe a little bit of a Kerry-Cork thing over a longer stretch of time. Like, what is the sense you get from Cullen, from the players, whoever you had bumped into today, of the magnitude of it and also those stakes involved in it?
Yeah, well, the stakes are obviously huge, and over the last few years, I think it's been quite clear that La Rochelle and O'Gara have got under Leinster's skin or into their heads a little bit. I mean, we saw last year with Leinster having people waiting outside the referee's room, and you saw it even in the December game, the way there was that little bit of extra niggle and a couple of scuffles on the pitch. Like, there is an edge to this game, there is a bite to this game. And the thing about bringing the team down to Cork this week, it is one of those things where, you know, if La Rochelle lose tomorrow, it's maybe something that we've made a bigger deal of than it needed to be. But we know how important kind of theming a week or a season has been for La Rochelle, and I suppose the kind of emotional energy they've drawn from that previously. And it makes so much sense on so many levels for O'Gara to bring him down to Cork, whatever about the logistics side of things. But you can only imagine what he's trying to tap into this week and what the players are seeing and hearing. Like, you'd love to be a fly on the wall for the week, seeing what's going on down there in Cork. And I do get the sense that it's kind of, I don't know what the right word is, but kind of niggling away or eating at Leinster as well. Like, Leo Cullen, like, the words Cork Mafia came up today during the press conference, and he had a few other little bits about the amount of support coming up to Dublin, maybe from Cork, and the way La Rochelle have been treated perhaps down in Cork for the week. And some of that's in the embargoed section of the press conference, so we'll have that on the site tomorrow. But he didn't go into too much detail on it, but there was definitely a little sense that, you know, it's there and it's on their minds. And it's a strange one, actually, where La Rochelle are going to be here later on today, and I was just speaking to a couple of French journalists a few minutes ago, and they don't even know if Ron O'Gara is going to show up to the press conference. La Rochelle seem to keep that stuff kind of close to their chest, so we're going to sit around here for a few hours and see who turns up later. But in terms of the rivalry, La Rochelle have won the ones that matter, but it's definitely a rivalry, and it has been the defining game of the Champions Cup over the last couple of seasons, and that's so important. And a sport like rugby really needs that, and a sport like rugby, I think, needs characters like Ron O'Gara, who draw in people who maybe aren't La Rochelle fans or Leinster fans, but are still fascinated by this fixture and fascinated by what's going to happen tomorrow. And to sell 51,000 tickets for a Champions Cup quarterfinal in the space of a week is really impressive, and it just shows the interest levels around this fixture now. And it feels like a final, it feels like a test rugby match, and I'm kind of looking forward to this as much as I did any of Ireland's Six Nations games over the spring. So it's huge, and like, whoever wins tomorrow has two more games to go on and win the Champions Cup, but it does feel like this is the game of the Champions Cup this season anyway. And yeah, like, it's just such a fascinating fixture to look forward to for so many reasons, and depending on who wins, we'll look back on how La Rochelle treated the week differently maybe. But it's been a brilliant build-up, and even that in itself is important for a sport like rugby, I think, to have kind of that extra bit just generating that interest and really getting everybody's eyes on this fixture.
It could be said that Leo Cullen has set his stall out with the selection that he has made. So you've got Joe McCarthy partnered by Jason Jenkins at lock. Will Connors has been unleashed once more upon La Rochelle, and he starts at open side with Josh van der Fleer set to come on from the bench. And Leinster have gone for a 6-2 split with that bench. So if they are setting their stall out to do something, Ciarán, what is that?
Be aggressive, go after them. The Will Connors one is fascinating, isn't it? I think it's only his third or fourth Champions Cup game ever in his career, which is really something. His only Champions Cup appearance this season was the pool game in December, where he was outstanding. And after that game, you're kind of looking at him going, God, this could be the season for Will Connors, finally, after a really horrible time with the injuries. But he hasn't really featured that much since. He's had a couple of games, obviously, but he hasn't played since the URC win over Zebra. They've probably just been holding him back with this game in mind as well. He was outstanding in the pool game, and Leo Cullen was just after saying here this morning that he thinks he's the best chop tackler in the game. And that's why he's in the team tomorrow. And it's similar with the Jason Jenkins selection in the second row. They've gone for power over Ross Maloney, who was probably the safer line-out option. Jenkins is a big guy. He's going to kind of look to bring some physicality to things tomorrow. And that means Ryan Baird is calling the line-out, which is a huge call as well. But I think we've seen over Leinster in different glimpses of the season that they have tried to bring more kind of aggression and physicality and bite to their game and kind of focus on that a little bit more than maybe some of the kind of free-flowing attacking rugby we would have associated with them previously. And it's looking to get a blend of the two tomorrow and just really bringing that fight to La Rochelle. And it's a really interesting Leinster team, I think, when you look at it. And there's a lot of players there, I think, who you really want to see step up and have big games tomorrow. Like, you can look at Leinster and think, you know, where are they better than they were last year? And I don't know if you've seen that evidence maybe on the pitch yet in terms of a cohesive performance, but Ryan Baird is certainly, I would say, a better player than he was 12 months ago. Joe McCarthy is a better player than he was 12 months ago. So guys like that, those guys, it feels like they're just on the kind of cusp of it, really. Like, McCarthy has obviously established himself as an Ireland international now, and Baird is pushing hard there too. But these guys haven't really made this Leinster team theirs yet when it comes to these big European days. They haven't really dominated on a day like this. And those two guys are just in my mind because they were both excellent against La Rochelle in December, but were more peripheral in the two finals. McCarthy came off the bench in both. I think he only had 4 minutes in the 2022 final, and Baird was also involved that day off the bench and last year. But now they're key guys for Leinster. And the next step is to be dominant against a team like La Rochelle when it's do or die. And there's other guys there too who need big games. Caelan Doris is captain tomorrow, and he was captain last week as well. He had a good Six Nations, but I don't think he ever got to the heights he did against France in the opening weekend. And he didn't really perform when Ireland lost against England. And that's not the first time he hasn't been at his best in the biggest games. And I don't think that's been overly harsh on him, because it's something that he's spoken about himself and acknowledged. But again, he was outstanding in the December game. But, you know, he was a proper leader that day. But Gregory Aldrete wasn't on the pitch. So can Doris outplay him tomorrow? Ross Byrne as well. Johnny Sexton is finally gone, but I don't think this really still feels like it's Ross Byrne's team. There was probably still an argument to start Harry Byrne against Leicester Tigers. And we always still have that kind of one eye on who's next, you know, and where's Sam Prendergast coming and when's he going to feature? And like, Ross must be sick of all that. People are always looking for who the alternative is. But the best way to kill that debate is by doing it and showing everyone why the coaches feel you're the man. He didn't control the game against La Rochelle in the final last year the way he would have liked, so he has to be more dominant out there tomorrow as well after getting the vote again. So, yeah, you know, I just look at this Leinster team and it's loaded with quality, absolutely no doubt about that, but there's just a couple of guys there that I look at and think they really need to have big games, 8s, 9s, 10 out of 10s tomorrow if Leinster are going to do it.
The inclusion of Connors, Ciarán, it would be easy to see that as just a means of stopping La Rochelle and like stopping them in their tracks because of his tackle technique. But I think his technique also, or his inclusion for that technique, is kind of indicative of something as well, which is that like when you are as good at chop tackling as he is, the position of the ball carrier then leaves them far more prone to have the ball jackaled off them, you know. Like, I think it's a suggestion that Leinster are really going to target the breakdown and try to win penalties there, try to win turnovers there, which I know this sounds kind of nuts, but it's slightly more difficult to do with Van der Vleer in your team just because of the way he tackles. Like, he is a jackal threat in his own right, but I think that kind of is what they're leaning into. And like, when you look at La Rochelle's team, the pack that's available to them, the inclusion of Aldred, who missed that first game, and when you take into consideration what you've just said about Ryan Baird being a better player, Joe McCarthy being a better player, but then equally, like, Doris maybe not being as in form as he was 4 or 5 months ago, how do you think these packs stack up? Do you see Leinster gaining more of a foothold than they managed to in that final 12 months ago or just under?
Well, I think you're dead right on Connors. It's get those chop tackles in and then get bodies around and win the ball back. It's target La Rochelle's big men and get them on their back, and that's the most effective way I think Leinster can go after this La Rochelle pack, because all the big hitters are there, you know. Aldrete is there, Will Skelton is there, even he's not a forward, but Dante has done so much damage in the carry against Leinster over the years. So Antonio is there as well. Like, these are big, hard men to put down, and having Connors there just gives you that chance of really going after them. And then they've got really athletic forwards like Baird, like Doris, like McCarthy, like Sheehan, even, who can get in and get on top of you there. Like, pound for pound, I still think this La Rochelle pack, they're so difficult to stop, and I'm not convinced Leinster can get on top of them. Jenkins needs a big game. He hasn't been the power dominant player that Leinster would have hoped, and you know, they're hoping obviously that Simon's going to be that guy next season, but like, this is his time to kind of really rise to it again tomorrow. He's got the vote ahead of Ross Maloney, and that's a huge call, so go out there and be dominant and do all the things you were brought here to do. But I think I do still think La Rochelle have the edge in that pack. But Leinster, they're defending differently as well this year. They're going after teams differently this year. So maybe that all falls into place with the performance we've probably been waiting for all year, really, tomorrow.
A lot has been made of the absence of Pierre Bouguerie, but La Rochelle will also be missing Brees Doolan at fullback tomorrow, which means Dylan Lades goes to 15. You have Teddy Thomas returning on the wing then. And Jack Noel is on the right wing then. I think Doolan is a really big miss for them, Kieran, in the sense that he's just really good at organising the backfield. But equally, I looked at him against the Stormers and I thought, I don't know if I've ever seen Brees Doolan play a game as bad as this. So, like, it's one of those where you couldn't write a guy off based on 80 minutes in Cape Town. Absolutely not. But I don't know if he's quite the force he used to be. And I kind of actually like the look of that back three now for La Rochelle. I think Lades, I haven't seen much of him personally at fullback. Thomas, we know exactly what he can do. Noel, again, maybe is just on that cliff's edge of his career. Like, he's been around for a long time, but I do kind of like the makeup of that. I'd suggest that some of those La Rochelle players, if they are veering towards their twilight years, they definitely have like a big performance in them, and you know, they've made a point of that all week, really, haven't they? Just like, they haven't had the opportunity to be together as a squad at full complement, really, to any great degree all season. We had Benjamin Judon, a journalist with Sud-West, on the members pod on Wednesday, and he made the point that Will Skelton and Greg Aldrich have only played together 5 times this season, and La Rochelle have won all 5 of those games, and those include their only 3 away victories. So it kind of is a small sample size of where they've been at, in that you've had a World Cup, Aldrich's sabbatical afterwards, which was cut short because their start of the season was so poor, and then you have Six Nations, other disruptions. I know you haven't had a chance to speak to La Rochelle yet today, but is there an extent to which you feel as though this feels like this feels like their game? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the one they've been waiting for. And I know I'm going on here a little bit. That might seem obvious when it's Leinster, but just that maybe the pieces are coming together for them. That's what I'm getting at. Like, and at a very opportune time for that to happen.
Absolutely. I know what you're getting at completely. And I'm going to skip ahead of myself here and spoil the end of the pod by giving you my verdict now and explain why I think it's going to be La Rochelle. And I think it's hard not to be leaning towards La Rochelle, purely just based really on the way the last 2 finals have gone and what we know about them when it comes to knockout rugby. I'm not really basing it on what I've seen from them so far this season, because they haven't been at their best, but this is the time of the year where they really come into themselves, you know, and they really kind of rise to the occasion and get the job done. And you think of the scar tissue, I suppose, that Leinster have from these games. Like, La Rochelle love this. They absolutely love this. They revelled in coming to Dublin and spoiling the party last year. And like I said earlier, you'd just love to see what's really been going on behind the scenes in Cork this week, because maybe it isn't something that gives them that extra couple of percent. But if they manage that week properly and the players have really bought into it, then what a powerful way to get yourself in the right headspace for this game. Like, their mentality around these occasions is remarkable. The way they came back from 17-0 down last year, doing something similar 16-0 down in South Africa last week, like, they're never beaten. And not only do they know that, Leinster know that, and that has to be niggling away in Leinster minds tomorrow. And the thing with Leinster is that, like, yes, I absolutely believe they can win tomorrow, but the thing with them is that, you know, the margins in these games have been so small, and La Rochelle deserved to win the two finals, absolutely, but Leinster were still right there in both in terms of the scoreboard and going down to the last couple of minutes. But any thoughts I have on Leinster being able to win tomorrow are mainly based on what we think they are capable of rather than what we've actually seen from them this season. So if I think of when Leinster have really impressed me this year, they really impressed me by dogging it out and winning in La Rochelle in December. They really impressed me in their pool game at Leicester and how they kept at it and knocked through Leicester for that late bonus point try, which got them home advantage in the knockouts. And then they really impressed me with their second half performance against the Bulls and the URC the other week. Now, two of those games, it felt like something different from Leinster. Winning away at La Rochelle and then getting that Doris try late at Welford Road, they were really aggressive and confrontational and just had that extra bit of an edge to them, I felt. And then the Bulls game was the kind of brilliant attack and play that we know they're capable of. But you really need to marry the two tomorrow and need to match La Rochelle in terms of that physicality, and then you need to be clinical. It's not a day to be leaving scoring opportunities behind you. But then we also need to see that really cohesive, concentrated defensive effort, the statement defensive kind of display that we've been waiting for really since Nienaber came in. There's been signs of it along the way, but it's not quite there yet. And we saw there were holes there against Leicester last week, but it's got to all come together for them tomorrow. And I think it can, but I don't think we've seen that yet in terms of complete 80-minute performance. So I can't say with any great confidence that it will. And I'm sure they've been thinking about this game all season and maybe holding a few things back, but it's not as easy as clicking your fingers and it all falling into place in the day. And that's why something like the Will Connors call is a gamble as well. He hasn't played a huge amount of Champions Cup rugby, and it's a big ask for him to come in and just be as influential as he was in December. And I'm not saying he can't do it, I'm just saying it's a big ask. And if you actually look through this Leinster team, you know, there's a lot of winners in that Leinster squad, but there's a lot of URC and Six Nations medals, but there's not as many Champions Cup medals as you might think. If you look at the team of the 2018 final, there's no Hugo Keenan there, there's no James Lowe, there's no Ross Byrne, there's no Dan Sheehan, there's no McCarthy, there's no Baird, there's no Doris, there's no Van der Fleer. There wouldn't be Will Connors there. So what? Like, that's more than half the team. So this is a hurdle they haven't cleared before. And for all the wins they've had across their careers, this is different. And being on the pitch against those yellow jerseys is different. And this is a gifted Leinster team. But La Rochelle have probably stopped them from becoming a truly great one. And maybe they take a step towards changing that tomorrow. And I can't see it happening. But yeah, if I have to choose now, I'd be going La Rochelle, because the majority of their key guys are there, they're fit, they've just come from the dead to win in South Africa, they've spent a week in Cork getting themselves in battle mode. This is the stage on which they thrive, and I'm glad I don't have to put the house on it, but I'm leaning towards La Rochelle at the moment.
I'm just trying to imagine you moving your stuff back out of the house into which you only recently moved. You'd be in serious trouble, in fairness.
Well, I haven't unpacked half the boxes, so it wouldn't be that big a job.
Well, one thing I will say before I make my own prediction is when I look at Leinster selection, Ciarán, they have to be leading this game after an hour. Like, I think when you look at their bench, Kelleher, yes, he can come on and he'll have an offensive impact on a game for sure. Good footballer, like we saw that in the Six Nations, not just in terms of his power. Michael Milne, really good player, I think, but probably haven't seen enough of him against us. A La Rochelle, for example. Alaalatoa comes on, solidifies a scrum, might not change a game necessarily, unfortunately change a game for the worse. In the final last year, that won't happen again, we'd suggest. Maloney, really good line-out operator, probably won't bring that kind of oomph that Leinster will have in their starting locks. Conan, good impact sub. McGrath, equally, yeah, good impact sub, like great support runner. Not Gibson Park, just not as good a player at the moment and probably ever. Frawley, hey, if it's in the mixer and there's a 60-yard kick, like that's where he could come to the fore. And Van der Fleer, again, like probably as a sub, more of a defensive sub. I think he's a guy who can come on and shore things up. He's actually a brilliant jackal threat off the bench. We've seen that on the rare occasions when he has been a replacement, right? He comes on and he tends to make an impact in that way. But like some of those, or a lot of those replacements seem like guys who are there to manage the end quarter of a game that you're leading rather than come on and change a game in which you're trailing. And that's where I'm like, as much as La Rochelle will be waiting for a fast Leinster start and an Andrew Goodman-inspired Leinster start as it was in the final last year, like, that, you know, you're probably not going to take a 17-0 lead, but you need to take a lead and you need to keep, you need to maintain scoreboard pressure as far as an hour or so, I think. Is that a fair read of this, or have I gone a bit OTT there in terms of just that necessity to actually be leading the game going into the last half hour or so?
Well, leading would certainly help in terms of the kind of mental pressure that they're going to feel against La Rochelle tomorrow, because they know they're never dead. But I think it's just you need to be right in the fight heading into that final quarter, and then that's where the 6-2 bench comes into play. And it's like, we kind of brushed over, but it's so interesting to see Leinster kind of adopt to that tactic. And it's obviously Nina Bear's influence coming in and another one of the little tweaks that he's made. Three of those players, I think, in particular, Kelleher, Jack Conan and Josh van der Fleer, they are three exceptional impact substitutes to be able to bring in, and three guys who'd start in most other teams in the competition. Kelleher has been pushing Sheehan hard, I think, even in the Six Nations with Ireland. He had some really big involvements off the bench, kind of looking back to his best after kind of losing that start place. So that battle at hooker has been fascinating, and he's a brilliant player to be able to bring on and, you know, add some energy, and he's coming up with turnovers and he's coming up with big plays. Jack Cohen is the same. He has to have been pushing Caelan Doris hard, and Doris feels like one of these guys who's got himself into that, you know, he's almost undroppable because we know how good he can be and we know how influential he can be. He's obviously the captain, he's got those leadership qualities, but Conan's been playing some excellent rugby and he's making a big impact on games when he's being called in as well. And then obviously Josh van der Fleer is a regular starter for Ireland. It's unusual to see him on the bench, so, you know, he'll have that little chip on his shoulder coming in to do a job as well tomorrow. So there's a lot of impact in that bench, but yeah, Leinster have to be right in the fight, because it's a tough game, I think, to call, but probably the safest bet is that it's going to be tight and it's going to be down to small moments and winning small moments. And, you know, you've got a bench there that can come on and really make an impact and really make a difference. And then I think as well with that bench, I think there's guys there who could be going the full 80 or close to it. I wouldn't be surprised if Leinster try to keep Andrew Porter on the pitch for as long as possible. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to keep Jameson Gibson-Park on the pitch for as long as possible, given the way he's playing. So I know maybe fatigue and decision-making can kick in there as well. But I think particularly those three forwards in Kelleher, Conan and van der Fleer are huge options to be bringing off the bench. And Leinster obviously hoping that can be the difference for them tomorrow as well and going for the 6-2.
I think tomorrow will be Leinster's day. And I agree with what you're saying, that we haven't necessarily seen evidence so far this season that would point towards that being the case. So part of this is a gut thing, or it's based on a kind of a blind belief in Nienaber, in their coaching in general, and in their players to just get it right on the day once. And I mean on a knockout day. They got it right plenty back in the pool stage for sure. I really do think the absence of Aldrit is massive and does probably influence like the extent to which I would value that victory from Leinster's point of view. But I just have a feeling it's the Aviva 50,000 fans, most of them your own. You've had 12 months to think about what happened last time. La Rochelle can absolutely get it right on the day. Leinster have never been far away against La Rochelle from getting it right themselves and just getting the job done. And like, sometimes I wonder, do we big up La Rochelle too much because they're back-to-back European champions, but did we big them up too much as being like the kryptonite, the bogeyman to this Leinster team when you consider the margins between them? And honestly, I could see Leinster winning. I could see Leinster pulling away in the end and winning this by 10 or 12. That's my final kind of prediction. I just have a feeling. I think they're good enough to do that. That's what I'm saying. And when I look at their starting lineup now, and I see the power in that pack in particular, with the inclusion of Jenkins, if he's on, as in if he's on it, and with Connors as well. Yeah, I fancy Leinster to manage this game a lot better, and I think they'll gain parity in the forwards and win the game by 10 or 12 points. So there you go. I've oscillated wildly between the two all week. I've been like the personification of that Larry David gif from the Palestinian chicken episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, leaning one way and then the other. But my final prediction is Leinster to win, and actually win well in a brilliant battle, but come away with a couple of scores to spare.
Well, look, isn't it brilliant that we've got a knockout game here tomorrow that is that difficult to call, and that the calls can vary that much. Leinster are good enough to win by 10 or 12 points. I don't disagree with that. But yeah, like I said earlier, I find it hard to bet against La Rochelle in these games. But we know it's a big game because you're getting the train up from Cork, so the big guns are coming up. So look, we'll stick a coffee on it. That'll be our little wager between ourselves, and we'll see how things go.
Sounds good to me. Looking forward to seeing you. Really looking forward to the game. Thanks a million, Ciarán.
Nice one, Gav. Thanks a lot.
Thanks everyone at home as well. We will have Challenge Cup reviews on the Monday pod. That is the 42.e/extra if you want to sign up and you join us for an additional 2 podcasts a week. Obviously we'll be looking over this game in pretty forensic detail as well on Monday with the lads. So looking forward to it. The 42.e/extra. To anyone heading along to the Aviva or wherever you are watching it, enjoy yourselves and enjoy the weekend as a whole. Back Monday for subscribers, back next Friday. Take care.
Put the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land. Driver's got names for 32 double barrels. Spits out.